Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He was living right. From the time he was a teenager, he was a faithful servant of God. He grew to be a man of power and wealth. His position in government was at the very top. He had it all. One day, his wandering eye caught the neighbor lady sunbathing. The brief glimpse turned to lust. He was married. She was married. His lust turned to adultery. She told him the pregnancy test was positive. He tried various ways to cover it up. This powerful leader even ended up putting a contract out on the woman's husband to be murdered. Do you think this is something I found on an episode of Dateline or 2020? Well, I'll tell you the answer in just a moment. Here's another story. She may have been abused as a young girl. Maybe it was her low self-esteem in school. Was she influenced by the wrong crowd? Was it a need to support her drug addiction? Could it have been just a need for money or acceptance? We don't know. What we do know is that she prostituted her body for years. Do you think this girl ever amounted to anything? Well, I'll tell you the answer in just a moment. Actually, these two people have something in common. According to Ancestry.com, probably, but for sure the book of Matthew in the Bible, they were both in the genealogy of Jesus. The man that I was telling the story about was David. The Goliath slayer as a teenager, but the adulterer slash murderer as the Israelite king. The lady was Rahab, the prostitute. According to the book of Joshua, she was a woman who lived in Jericho in the promised land and assisted the Israelites in capturing the city by hiding two men who were sent to spy on the city prior to the attack. David was a man after God's own heart. In fact, we know this, that he wrote most of the book of Psalms. Rahab was instrumental in helping the Israelites capture the land that God had promised their ancestors. Born generations apart, both David and Rahab were in the lineage of Jesus. The backstory of David and Rahab fit perfectly with today's country song lyrics. And just again, as a reminder, I'm taking a country music song, the lyrics, and making a gospel, bringing out a gospel message from those lyrics. In the song that we're going to, I'll read the lyrics in a moment, but that song, within the song, there are some questions like this. How could God love someone with a past like mine? How could God love someone with a past like mine? Other questions in the song are like, or statements. I haven't kept the faith. So again, how could God love someone with a past like mine when I haven't even kept the faith? In fact, I've been in trouble. I've lost things I'll never recover because of the things I've done in the past. So my question is, have you ever asked those questions? Have you ever had those thoughts? Have you ever wondered how God could love someone with a past like yours? I certainly have. Well, today's country song, the title is God Must Really Love Me by Craig Morgan. God Must Really Love Me by Craig Morgan. Does anyone even recall hearing that song? I know there's some country folks, country music folks. I don't think I'd ever heard it. But it actually came out in 2009, so just 11 years ago, and it made it to number 26 on the top 100 of the hot country songs on the Billboard. Here are the lyrics. There have been times I let my faith run thin, not been the man I should have been. After all the trouble I've been in, I'd have gave up on me. I've lived hard and I've lived fast. Lost things I'll never get back. Cause someone to look past all that. God must really love me. When I look at all the miracles around me, at the way I live and the way he forgives, I know he's up there smiling down on me. And I believe the only reason I'm still alive is that God must really love me. When I look at all the miracles around me, at the dream that I live and the gift that he gives, I know he's up there smiling down on me. And I believe the only reason why I get to live this life is that God must really love me. When I showed the worst, he saw the best. He pulled the world right out off of my chest. Every day I wake up, I feel blessed. Yeah, I feel so blessed because God must really love me. The song describes a man realizing that this life may be bad sometimes, but he knows that he's still blessed and that God must really love him. I'm going to go back to that verse again in Philippians. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Now, what's interesting about that one verse is how much information it gives us. I remember back in English class in high school, one of the few things I do remember, maybe one of the few days I was paying attention, kids do a better job than me, okay? That's the lesson today. But I do remember that there was a time where, as we were to write stories or write articles or to make a point about something in writing, that we were supposed to answer these questions like who, what, when, where, why, and even how. And if you got all those answers, you got all those questions answered, you would have a really good written document. This one verse, this simple little verse, answers all those questions for us. I'm certain that God, that's the who. God will do what? He will begin a good work. In fact, he has begun a good work. It's not that he will begin it, he's already begun it. Right now in this room, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, God, the who, has already done the what. He's began a good work in you. And that's the where. The good work is within us. It's not here in the church. It's not somewhere else. It's right here within us. In fact, when we're saved, you know this. I've said it so many times. When we ask Christ to come into our life and we get saved, born again, the Holy Spirit is a gift that we get from God. You don't have to wait till you get so many weeks in as a Christian or learn so many verses. It's an immediate gift. And that gift within is what's helping us to grow. I am certain that God, the who, began the good work, what, within you, that's the where, and he will continue his work, that's the how. It's his work, and it will continue until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes. That's the when. See, it's happening right now, but it's not going to be complete until Jesus Christ comes. Now I'm asking the question, has Jesus Christ come? I don't think so. So his work is still being done in all of us that call ourselves Christ followers. It's still being done. And it won't be complete. If you think, boy, I don't know why I'm not more this or more that. Well, God's still working on you. That's what he's doing. I didn't grow up in church. I think I've mentioned this on many occasions. There were a couple times I remember going to vacation Bible school. And then there was the occasional, probably every year maybe when I was little, we would go to Christmas service and Easter service at a church. Everybody got new clothes and You went to church. That's the thing I remember about going to church on Christmas and Easter, is that's when you got something new to wear. And always those very uncomfortable boys' shoes that seemed to never break in, but you were supposed to wear those to church. But when I was in junior high, our next door neighbors invited us to church. I'm sure we'd been invited before, but for whatever reason, mom and dad agreed to go to church. We went from never going to church on any regular basis at all to now we were going to church 3 times a week, every week, month after month. We would go Sunday morning like this. They would have Sunday evening service. They would have a Wednesday Bible study. I was even in the youth group, participated in that. And there was one Sunday that they asked the youth group to take charge of the evening service. And they wanted 3 of us kids to actually deliver the message. And instead of one person delivering a 30-minute message, they had 3 of us kids. Each kid got a 10-minute spot to do their sermon. Now, I do not remember anything of what happened. I was so nervous. I couldn't tell you a thing what happened as far as what I preached on or what I said or anything like that. Way too scared and way too nervous. But I will never forget what happened after the service. There was an elder in our church. He was a Indiana State Trooper. And when you're a kid and you see somebody dressed in this uniform, and he always looked perfect and everything. Those shoes were shined, the belt was shined. When he would wear his police officer uniform, I just thought nothing but high respect for this man. Well, after the service was over, I'll never forget that he came up to me and he said, "Boy, one day you're going to be a preacher." And I'm thinking, again, 13 years old, not grown up in church, not really what I would call a church boy by any means. But here I am. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. And just like the song said, God really did love someone with a past like mine. I could tell you all kinds of stories about my past, and you would think, and we hired you to be a preacher? We hired you to pastor? Yeah, not because I'm good, but because God could love someone with a past like mine. And like the song said, he loved me even though I didn't keep the faith. He loved me even though I'd been in trouble. He loved me enough to even restore the things I've lost over the years. I mean, my spiritual life was an up and down roller coaster that would rival anything at Kings Island or Cedar Point. I can tell you that. But I had to accept God's love, and I had to accept his son, Jesus. But even before I did that, God must have really loved me. Well, here's the good news, because this morning is not about me. I want to tell you, and I think you already know this, but God really loves you. I mean, he really, really loves you. In fact, if you haven't kept the faith, God really loves you.
Pastor Bob, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Pauletta. Speaking about that, somebody told me one day many years ago, you know God loves you more than anybody.
Yeah.
He loves you more than your parents.
Yes.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine God loving my children, our family, more than we do.
No.
But he does.
He does.
That's pretty.
And that helps us to put it into perspective, the kind of love he has, because we know the love we have
for
other people. And I know you've shared that with me before, and I appreciate you sharing it now. So as we're thinking about this statement, think about how you love others and realize that God loves even more. And if we've been in trouble, God still loves us. If we've lost things and we think we'll never get it back, well, God still loves us, and it's possible he may return some of those things we've lost. But the question is will you love him? Will you give your life to him wholeheartedly, completely? And will you let him begin working on you? Because see, that verse I read, let me read it again. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, the only way he can begin the good work in you is for you to come to him in the first place and say, God, I'm a mess. My life has been a mess. But I'm understanding your word says that you'll love even me, and then you'll start a good work in me. So if you'll come to God, he will begin working on you. I don't know if we ever sing this song much here, but I know it's probably been sung in this sanctuary lots and lots. It's actually the song called He's Still Working on Me. You remember that one? A lot of times when I reference back to VBS, kids would sing that song as a kid's song, He's Still Working on Me. But really, it's a great adult song. And really, it fits this verse perfectly. So while I hope that you'll go back and reread this verse multiple times this week, just if you can't remember all the words in the song or in the verse, remember the words to this song. He's still working on me. What? To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Man, can you think of the patience he must have to be working on some of us? It's like, don't you ever get tired of somebody messing up? Well, that's the part of the song we know really well. And we're going to actually end the service here in a moment with that song, just like we were singing it. But here's the verses that maybe most people don't know that well. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hands. You see, there's a sign on all of our hearts. And when we look at each other, we say, well, wonder why that person acts that way. Wonder why they said that. Wonder why they do this. You know what? See if there's a sign on their heart that says, he's still working on me. There's unfinished parts that are still being worked on. Jesus Christ hasn't come yet, so the work is still in progress. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see, makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. The song says, he loves me as I am. God does love every person. Let me say that again. God loves every person. You know, in our society, there are all kinds of voices proclaiming which lives matter. But it's God that tells us that all lives have a soul and all souls matter. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So join me as we close with this song. He's still working on me, and mean it, to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on you. And me. Father, we thank you so much for that song that really sings the story of Philippians 1:6. So this week, help us to sing that song and understand what it really means, because it means exactly what your word says. Thank you, Lord, for starting the work. Thank you, Lord, for continuing the work. And thank you, Lord, that one day when you return, the work will be done. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, as always, be blessed and be a blessing.